Are you ready for the word of the Lord? Let me talk to you today about why we need the Holy Ghost. Some call him the Holy Ghost, some call him the Holy Spirit. But when you go out of here today, I think you'll understand why we need him, all right? But I want to say to you today that in this day that we live in, these perilous times, which means dangerous, the evil times, the greatest need that we have, Tommy Tenney's dad years ago used to say, and I don't know if he coined the phrase, Tommy Tenney was a great revivalist in the 90s, and we had him here a couple of times, but I got to go sit around the table with Tommy Tenney and his dad, who was a bishop for many Pentecostal churches. And his dad said, you've got to keep the main thing, the main thing. All through the summer and through half of the winter, I talked about Jesus. All summer long, I told you I was going to, and I never ran out of messages. And then I told you that I was going to start teaching on the Holy Spirit. And when I said that, I could hardly get to it. I would always go back to Jesus. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. If you start flaunting on him too much, well, he just directs you back to Jesus. And he tells us that we have everything by the work of the Holy Spirit that we will need this day. And so when Jesus went away, just as he was going to leave, he came out of the grave, he was resurrected, and as he was leaving, he stopped to make this one important point. And the most important thing that he could talk about is what I'm getting ready to tell you. And he told them about the Holy Spirit. I want us to look first, though, John 14, verse 15. So Jesus is getting ready to leave. Okay, he's going back to his Father's house. He's been down here 33 years. And if he was not Jesus, I'll just tell you this, he would have been too through to get out of town. But he is going to miss his followers. And he wasn't here on earth to see what happened this morning, but he was in heaven and he saw that people are still coming to the cross only because of him. And they wouldn't have come to the cross today had the Holy Spirit not drew them. So the Holy Spirit has to draw us because we're not going to do that on our own. Amen? So Jesus says, wait. Let me tell you something. John 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father. He means when I get there, when I get back to heaven, I will pray or I'll ask the Father and he will give you another helper. The old King James says, another comforter. That he will give you another helper because I've been your helper all these years. Now, you're going to get a new helper. And that he may abide with you. Say that last word, how long? Forever. He's not going to go away. I was here 33 years. I have to go. I'll see you later, but I got to go. But I'm not going to leave you without. I'm going to put you under the care of the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? He is the Spirit of God. He is the Spirit of Jesus. He is the Spirit of truth. Okay? He is everything that Jesus told us he was. So Jesus said now, verse 16 again, I'm going to ask the Father, and he will, because Jesus always got his prayers answered, he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. He's never going to leave you. Never going to forsake you. The Spirit of truth. Look at that, capital S, deity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, Jesus said to his followers. You know him. They don't. Oh, but you do. So you know him, but you know him, and he dwells. Look at these two words coming up. For he dwells with you and will be where? In you, with you, and in you. And he said, that is so far different from what the world is. They don't even know him, but you do. And when I leave, I'm going to talk to the Father. Father's going to send him back, and he will no longer just be with you like he was with the disciples. When we get saved, we're with him. He drew us. We are with him. He comes to us. But he said, not only will he be with you, disciples and followers, but he will be in you. Okay? Verse 18. I love this. I'm so glad he tagged it with this in verse 18. He said, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. One time my little Parker said to me, Nana, you are both an orphan and a widow. He said, you have no father, you have no mother, and you have no husband. Nana, you're an orphan. Well, that didn't sound very good. I didn't like that, but it was kind of cute. But he said, you're not orphans. I don't care how alone you feel. It doesn't matter where you've been, how you are, who walked out on you, who betrayed you, who stepped on you, who defeated you. It just doesn't matter, because he said, I'm not going to leave you like that. I won't leave you alone. I am putting you in good hands with my Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and no one will be able to take care of my followers and those that I love and those that love me. Nobody will be able to take care of them like he will. All right, let's go back over to Acts. Just turn the page over to the right. Go to Acts chapter 1. And here's another thing he said. He was so, I don't want to use this word, but I'll say it. He was just so jazzed about going away and what was going to happen then. And he was going to miss them, and they were going to miss him. But he was so excited that he made an appointment for his followers. It was just like making a doctor's appointment or an attorney's appointment. Or he just set up an appointment for them with the Holy Spirit. And he told him where to go and exactly what was going to happen just before he left. In Acts chapter 1, look at verse 4. This is after, of course, he raised from the dead and being assembled together with them. He commanded, underline that word commanded. I mean, this wasn't a suggestion. It was a command. And there were about 500 people there with him right then at that time. And he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. I told you about this comforter, this helper who is coming to you, this power that is coming. Verse 5, for John truly baptizes with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So he said, to be baptized in the Holy Ghost is a lot like being baptized with water, except when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, you're not baptized with water. He said, you are baptized, and the word is with. We are baptized with water, and here it says you are baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And you know what? There wasn't going to be a preacher baptized then. Paul wasn't going to baptize them. Jesus wasn't going to. Not even John. John wasn't going to baptize them. He said, no, he's going to come down from heaven. And I'm telling you, he's coming from heaven. And he is going to baptize you. Verse 6, therefore, when they had come together, they asked, saying, Lord, will you restore Israel? And he said, he didn't even answer them. In verse 7, he says, it's not for you to know the time or the seasons which your Father has put in his own authority. But look at verse 8. But he says, I'll tell you this. And he goes right back to the most important subject that has ever been on this earth. This is the most important words. Verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and into the end of the earth. So remember what he said. He commanded them, do not depart from Jerusalem. So he said, don't leave. You stay right there and you wait for the Holy Ghost to come. Don't run away. And he told them what room to go to. It was the upper room. So he said, you have an appointment. Go in there and wait until the promise of the Father comes upon you. Oh, special, special appointments. Okay. So then we're going to have to save some time, or we could just go to all these scriptures. If you want to read more about the Holy Ghost on your own, read John 14, 15, and 16. But in John chapter 15, he talks and describes what the Holy Spirit will be like. That's when he said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict you of sin. He will convict you of righteousness. Now, we have been in this church, and people just came in. And on that day that they were here, I didn't say a thing about the sin that they were walking in. Not a word about it. And later on, they might come back in the week or call me and said, hey, we're going to get married. And I said, well, why are you getting married? Because we just feel like it's wrong to live together. Hey, I'm getting out of this because it's just wrong. I said, how did you know? Well, I said, where do you go to church at? I don't go to church. Last time I came to church was last week. So the anointing of the Holy Spirit will tap you on the back when you're at home, just like he did you, and say, hey, you need to get on in to church and hear a message, or you need to turn on TBN or Daystar and get a right word, okay? So the Holy Spirit always knows where we are, but he will convict us of sin. So he says, you really don't need anyone to tell you, hey, this is wrong. Because he says, you're going to have the Holy Spirit in you, and he'll tell you. And he said, this is funny. He says, and he will convict you of righteousness. He will let you know about the righteousness of God and how we can wear it and how wonderful it is and good and what a blessing it is. And then he said, he'll also let you know about judgment. Okay, so I don't have time to go into all that today. But I just want to say, why do we need the Holy Spirit? I'm just going to give you some simple things that I know, and I'll tell you this. In this day, we need him above all things, because I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Spirit will settle your doubt. How many has ever doubted? Listen, I'm going to tell you, that devil from hell, he is relentless. Have you noticed how these troubles, these trials, and the things that are coming today, have you just noticed that it just seems like they don't stop? It's just, when I say persistent, I mean, it's just one right after the other. It's just always something. You're not this, you're not that, and he just bombards you with everything. He'll even try to make you doubt the very existence of God. He'll try to make you doubt that this word of God is from him. And those disciples, those were just regular men. Yes, they were. But you cannot take 66 books of the Bible written over 1,600 years and cause every word to line up. Every prophecy, every fulfillment lines totally up. No one can do that. That's a supernatural thing. So he will try to get you to doubt that the word is true, that God is real, that creation is from God. Try to get you to doubt yourself, always doubting your salvation. Always comes like he did to Jesus. If you were the Son of God, well, you would just jump off of this cliff and off this mountain, and God would give you angels to save you. If you were the Son of God, you're so hungry you haven't eaten in 40 days and 40 nights. So you could just, if you were the Son of God, you could just make these rocks bread. You could just fill your belly up. And Jesus would say, don't you even, he didn't even say, don't you talk to me. He said, get behind me, Satan. It is written. It is written. See, the word is written. It's written for you. It was written for Jesus. It is Jesus, by the way. So he went to him and said, if you were, he comes to you daily, or weekly, or monthly, and says, if you were a woman of God, if you were a man of God, and he wants you to doubt, if he can't make you doubt your salvation, He'll try to make you doubt you. He'll try to make you doubt miracles. Well, it's too late. We've already seen miracles. I mean, Satan is so ignorant. You could hear people on TV, and of course they are ignorant people concerning the Word of God. But I believe sometimes he comes to even the saints and will say, you know what, that story about the Red Sea, that story about Jesus, God dropping manna on the earth, I don't know if I believe that or not. You know, there's all kind of jokes about that. Well, I'm not joking this morning, so I'm not going to go there. But, and the thing is, church, you love your church, and you love God, and all of a sudden, something comes to you that says, what is all of this about anyway? I go to church. I give my tithe and offering. I've been faithful all of these years. I don't even know what this is about. What is this church life? I'm telling you, church, you better watch out. But we have a helper. We're not orphans. We don't have to buy all that mess. That's what I've come to tell you about today. You just got to know who's behind what you hear in your ear. Listen, my mother was so precious, and my Aunt Laureen taught me in Sunday school. She was so sweet. And Debbie Bowen, your daddy, would come up to the ranch and help Rick work cattle when they would have a roundup. And one day your dad caught me out in the pasture. They were doing something. He was taking a break. And he came over to me, and he says, Paulette, can I ask you a question? You know, her daddy was an old cowboy from way back. Well, he didn't want those other cowboys to hear what he's saying. And he's too macho for that. But he says, well, you know I'm a Christian now. I said, yeah, I know. I said, praise God. You can come to church. You're with Red all the time. He says, but I don't know if I'm saved. I said, why not? I just don't know. I don't feel it. I said, Lloyd, did you ask God Jesus to forgive you of your sins and come into your heart and be your Lord? Yes, I did all that. Well, then you're saved. I just don't feel it. I said, forget about it. God answers our prayers, and Jesus died to give us that power. If you say, forgive me, he will. That's why he died. Do you think he's going to waste it? My mother and my aunt, my cousin died, and it was my aunt's daughter, and I'm sent with those women, and they're both about 85 years old. I'm sent with them, and they said, you know, we've been talking, and I'm thinking, uh-oh, this is not good. And my mother, I think, started it. And she said, you know, we just want to make it to heaven. And we're just not sure. We just don't know. How are we going to know if we're going to make it? I said, what have you two done? You've been messing up. Have you been keeping God's word? Yes, yes. My aunt said, yeah, but I was pretty wild when I was a girl. You know, you know my family. You know I came from a wild family. I said, that's over. That was like, what? 80 years ago? Oh my goodness, those two just went off on themselves. Sometimes you get a woman in here, I had an abortion 50 years ago, that's over. I'm telling you, if you ask Jesus into your heart, ask him to forgive you of your sins, you are clean, you are holy, you are saved. So leave it alone and trust him. So Jesus said, well, they're going to need help with their doubt, Father, because this devil's going to come and constantly make them doubt about who they are, what they're about, what you're about, what the church is about. And so I believe that's why Jesus gave us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for Romans 8. Go to Romans 8. This is one of the most powerful chapters in the Bible. Well, how can you say that? They're all powerful. But go to Romans 8:15. Why does he do that to us? He wants you to change your mind. This is why young people sometimes that are raised in church, They get out in the world. Why? Because Satan comes and bombards them and says, this is hogwash. These guys have been telling you this, they've been telling you that, and that's not right. So he gets them to change their mind for a while. All right, so just know who's behind all that. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Let's read 15 and 16. Look. For you did not receive the spirit of what? Look at that spirit. It's a capital. It's not a capital S. I don't know why they don't capitalize spirit all the time and Holy Spirit all the time. Sometimes they don't. But you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. But you received the spirit, capital S, of adoption. You've been adopted by God the Father. You live in his family. So you've received not that spirit of fear, but the spirit of adoption. The spirit of fear is satanic. The spirit of adoption comes from God. All right, look. Where am I going? By whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Verse 16, look. The Spirit himself. He didn't send a representative, doesn't send an ambassador like America does. No, it is, look, verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with who? Our spirit, that we are children of God. Okay, so that's how you can tell people. Very seldom do I ever doubt my salvation, because I know him and I know the Holy Spirit enough to confirm with me that I am a child of God, and most of you know that. And you can say, I told a young man in my office the other day, I said, look, we don't have any time for false pride. We, every one of us, Paul said this, every one of us need to be able to say, follow me as I follow Christ. That's not being boastful. However, Paul said, I can boast about the things of God. So you can say, follow me as I follow Christ, because I know where I'm going to take you. I am going to take you straight to him. I'm not going to take you to the world. I'm not going to take you to a vice. I'm not going to take you to a substitute. I know where I'm going to take you. Amen, church? Okay. So he said, the Spirit himself. That's why we need the Holy Spirit, to settle all the doubt that rises up in your little spirit. It'll rise up if you listen and listen and listen. But we have the Holy Spirit himself. It says, let me help you with that, my son, my daughter. You belong to me, so don't worry about it. Thank God for that verse. You've repented, you've asked him to come in, and let me tell you, if you have 100 thoughts a day like that, the Holy Spirit will give you 110 good things to confirm that you're saved and blow him out of the water. But you have to allow him to do it, church. Okay. I want to show you what the Holy Spirit brings. When he comes, he has his own language. Somebody say, oh, I knew you were going there. I can't not go there. He has his own language, and it is called tongues by the word of God. Because he knew this was going to give us our problem. I was never out in the world. I never did a lot of those things. I can name all those things, but I can tell you this is where my problem is. And the Holy Spirit said, I'll have to even help you with that. Amen. So I want to show you this. This is in the Bible, and he knew we were going to need it. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:2. 1 Corinthians 14:2. He brought this with him. You receive the Holy Ghost, you receive this. 1 Corinthians 14:2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but you speak to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. That's why He says, I wanted to bring you a new tongue. We become new creatures, so we may as well have a new tongue. Because we are also told in the book of James, Jesus' brother, he said, it is that tongue that flames, great flames and great fires and starts fires and can burn down an entire forest. He didn't say it, but I'll say it, of people because of this. And so he said, when you speak in tongues, you speak to God and not to man. You may say, well, my tongue's just the same thing all the time. Well, it says a tongue. You speak English, but he's given you a tongue, so speak that. Some speak different tongues. But I'll tell you this, De Leon's tell me that there are so many different dialects in the Filipino language. Many, many dialects. And I was seeing something on Facebook the other day of a tribe in Africa, and when they spoke, it was the strangest thing. They spoke, and every other word was clicks. Did you ever hear that one? The click. And they understood that. It was the funniest thing. Well, that's a dialect, because they understand. The Filipinos, some don't understand certain things. I don't know about a lot of other languages, but that's what they told me. So I want to just say today, it's not so much a dialect, but it's a channel. It's where we talk to God. I mean, it's a way. It's a way through the wilderness of our lives. So what happens is this tongue, when you begin to pray in the Holy Spirit, it bypasses your flesh. And we don't like that. Our minds want to know what we are talking about. Our intellect is used to knowing, so it wants to know, what are you saying? More than that, the devil wants to know what you're saying. So he hangs around and hovers around. And I remember my dad one time years ago, some of you will not have a clue what I'm about to say. He had a CB radio. And then I think it went bigger too. David mentioned a ham. And he would say, I spoke to somebody in Indonesia tonight. And you could get on these channels, and then sometimes they would be real busy and you'd have to get over where nobody was. So I said, well, David, I would think that the police departments and the fire departments, wouldn't they have, when they talk on their radios, wouldn't they be able to have a private frequency or something private? And he said, oh, of course we do. Of course we do. Well, some people buy those radios and they can tell where the police cars are going. I don't know how that works, but they know where they're off to, and they listen for ambulance sounds and police sounds, and I don't know what that is, but I'm just going to tell you they have frequencies that only they can communicate with the police department or with the fire department, their captains or their chiefs or sheriffs or whoever they are. And so they've got to have those private channels, their own frequency. And so the Holy Spirit's language is very restricted. It's a frequency for you with God. Some of you may have never heard any of this before. Some of you grew up on it to where it's old hat to you. But I don't want this to ever get old to you, because it is so necessary. It is so important. And it is a lifesaver. It has saved your families at times. It has saved you. It has brought you out when nothing else could do it, bring you out, and nobody else knew what you were going through. Only you knew it. Only you. But the Holy Spirit knew, and he's with you. Now, this is probably a dumb thought, but Ellen, I notice you have on tennis shoes. Probably when you ordered those, they had a tongue in them. And you have Nike, you have Jordans, you have New Balance, Adidas, but they all have a tongue. I told you it'd be dumb. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he also has a tongue. And he said, this will protect you, it'll give you power, and it'll show you a few things. Now, this is also in your Bible. Go back to Isaiah. This is Old Testament stuff right here. And these prophets, man, they longed to have this with them, but they never got to speak in tongues. They never did. The Holy Spirit would come on them, and then he would go away. He would come, and he would go. But look at Isaiah 28:12. Look at me a minute, church. The Holy Spirit refreshes us. Have you ever just, of course you have, you just get so tired sometimes, just so absolutely tired of the humdrum day after day. You go to work, you go home, you go to bed, you get up, you have your devotional, you pray, you go back to work, you raise the kids, you wash the clothes, you wash the dishes, you da-da-da-da. But then with just the daily chores, there's all the other things that you have to deal with, all of it. Business, you that have the care homes like Kathy, they deal with state coming in. Lord knows what you in your world have to deal with. And sometimes we just get absolutely overwhelmed. I mean overwhelmed. Like, Lord, what am I going to do? And how am I going to do this? And then you think you're going to go in there to pray in the morning or later on in the afternoon, and I'll walk back in the war room to pray. And the other day I went in about 3 weeks ago, and I sat down and I said, Lord, I've got to tell you, but you already know me. You already know I am just totally wiped out, exhausted. I don't have anything else in me. I didn't even know what to say to him. I said, I don't have any words. I don't have any prayers. And he told me, but you have my spirit. Oh, yes. I forgot about him. And you begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, I prayed in there about 15 minutes and the Holy Spirit walked out full of energy. How does that happen? Only through him. And then I found out it wasn't all that important anyway. What was I doing so tired, Melissa? I don't know. But he refreshes us. You say, can you verify that? Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Yes, I can. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 12. For, this was just total foolishness to them back there. For with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to his people, to whom he said, this is the rest, R-E-S-T. How many need rest? About every day or every other day. This is the rest which you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. You say, yeah, Pismo Beach, sitting there on the sand and the mist coming off the ocean. No, no, no. He said, this is the refreshing that they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was to them. I told them, but they rejected it. But with me, I could have given them stammering lips and tongues and rest. But that's what he's brought us. That's what Jesus said, that he would bring us rest. Remember when Jesus said, you who are weary and heavy laden, that just means you're just overwhelmed, come to me and I'll give you a shot of energy. No, he said, come to me and rest, because he sends his Holy Spirit. Daniel told us, he warned us. Daniel said way back in the Old Testament, he said the devil comes to wear out the saints and to lie about the seasons of God. He just comes to wear you out. So the next thing I want to say is the Holy Spirit prays past our understanding. That's why David didn't quite. Well, David, I'm not saying nothing negative. David was over the top. But David said, with all of this, lean not on your own understanding. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Why? Because we don't have any. There's a lot of things you're facing right now. You have no idea how that's going to work out. So he said, don't lean on them what you know. Just don't go there. Don't even try to figure it out because you don't have that kind of power in you. But the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit has that understanding. So he prays way past our understanding. So look at this, Romans 8:26. Go back to Romans, that awesome, awesome, one of the sweetest. I'm so happy that we have this chapter in our Bibles. Look at this, Romans 8:26. This has helped me so many times. I'm sure it has you. Some of you, again, are learning it for the first time. Romans 8:26. Look how powerful this is. To confirm what I just told you. Likewise, the Spirit also helps where? In our weaknesses. When we get tired, we're worn, we don't know what to do. You're just plain old tired. The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For this, for what? For we do not know what we should pray. For as we ought. You don't even know how you ought to pray. About that thing. For we should pray for as we ought. But, somebody say, but, look at this. But, read it with me. The Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You won't understand it. It says he came and he has a tongue. So just let him be with you when you're praying. Pray in the Holy Ghost. He said he knows when you don't know how you ought to pray. Pray in the Holy Spirit. You say, well, it makes me feel weird. It just sounds weird. I don't like to hear myself do that. Well, join the party. Join the crowd. It's weird to all of us. We do it in our car. We do it in the grocery store under our breath. Still weird. But isn't it amazing that God said, no, you need help with your tongue. That's what you need. You're too negative over here. You're too hopeless over here. You put your hope off. But, oh, the Holy Spirit helps us with those weaknesses. So he says he'll pray for us in groanings which cannot be uttered. Those groanings, sometimes you just go into that prayer closet and you sit there and cry. You don't say anything because you don't have anything to say. And he said, that's when my Spirit will come up in you. And he'll make those groanings. He'll start saying things. There's times where we're up here singing these songs, and I'll just start singing in the Spirit. I'll just sing my tongue. See, I believe he gave us all a tongue. I talk a little bit Texas. Some of you all talk your native Californians. You all talk Spanish. You got a little Spanish twang. Just ask Brother Roman where he's. What he's going for lunch, he'll say, enchilada. He's got that little. So we have a tongue. It's okay. You have an English tongue. Why not have your foreign tongue? Or maybe not foreign, but a tongue. It's a Holy Ghost tongue. Because when he prays, then he knows how to pray. And then you can just back out. You say, yeah, but I don't know what I'm saying. I don't know what I'm saying either. But it says, he will make intercession. Intercession means he will pray for us as though it's us right there before God. He says he will make intercession. Listen. He will make intercession for you. Not with you. Not with you. Not about you. But for you. Instead of you. Because remember, you don't know how to pray about it. So he says, just let me take it from here. And that's when you begin to give it up. Who wouldn't want this gift, church? Wow, who wouldn't want it? Man, praying in the Holy Ghost is so necessary. And I'm closing here, but over in Jude chapter 1, verse 20, this is, again, one of my favorite. I love it because Jude says, if you will pray in the Holy Ghost, it will build you up. You don't have a job? You're going through a divorce? you just had a death in the family, then your soul needs to be built up. Your mind needs to be built up. Our bodies need to be built up sometimes. They hurt or they're sick or diseased. You just need to be built up. And Jude said, oh, we have a remedy for that too. I'm so glad Jesus gave us this word, because he said, I'll settle your doubt. I'll give you a tongue. I'll let him pray for you. And now he says, and then I'll refresh you when you're tired. I mean, it's just like he covered it all. And then he says in Jude, oh, look at this. And then I'll show you how to build yourself up when you feel like you're falling apart. When you feel like it's just all caving in, let me show you how to build yourself up. But you, beloved, I love it when he calls us those sweet names. Oh, Jude 1:20, but you, beloved, here's how you do it. You don't need to go to the world and pick up a drug or a bottle or a illicit sex or a person or, you know, none of that. He says, but you, beloved, you build yourself up on your most holy faith. How? Praying in the Holy Spirit. He doesn't pray in English because he lives in heaven, but now he lives with us. But he only speaks the heavenly language. That's how they talk up there. It's a heavenly language. I had a dream about my husband and daughter one time, and I asked them some questions, and I'll tell you about it sometime. And when he spoke to me, he spoke in this other language, and immediately I knew it was a heavenly language, but God gave me the interpretation. By the time it left his lips and got to me, I knew what it meant. I had the interpretation. So Jude said, look, just go ahead. This will build you up. It'll build, when you're losing your faith, pray in the Holy Ghost. And I got to tell you what Timothy said. The Holy Spirit is not a spirit of fear. I know some of you that were raised in certain denominational churches or organizations, you've heard that this that I'm teaching you today is from the devil. That the Holy Ghost is from the devil, and if you speak in tongues, that's from the devil. But I want to tell you it's not, because the Holy Spirit is not a spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, for God has not given you a spirit of fear. Why would God want to do that, Gina? Why would he want to give, well, okay, I'm glad you're saved, but I'm going to give you a spirit of fear now, so you'll just be afraid the rest of your life. Said he didn't give you a spirit of fear, but he gave you the Holy Spirit, the spirit of love, the spirit of power, and the spirit of a sound mind, rock solid mind. He said, that's who you are. Hallelujah. Praying in the Holy Ghost magnifies God. Remember when Jesus came, John said, oh, Father, or he said, Jesus, you're going to increase while I decrease. And when we pray in the Holy Ghost, it magnifies God just like a little magnifying glass. It makes him bigger. It makes us less. Every time you pray in the Holy Ghost, you'll walk out of that prayer closet. I promise you, you will walk out of that prayer closet. Brother Art so graciously spoke about it Wednesday night. Thank you, Brother Art. What a blessing I've heard that that was. But you'll walk out of that prayer closet. You know how? Not arrogant, but you'll come back very humble and very full of faith. You'll put your head up and your shoulders back. You'll have a spring in your step and you something in you. Brother Russell just says, I can face this. I can do anything. Well, you can't, but the Holy Spirit can. So how many's just ready? Would anyone not want to receive him? And his tongue, stand up with me today. Wonderful Jesus. Now listen, it's just as though we're being baptized today. Not with water, but with the Holy Ghost. And in another scripture, Paul said he will fill you with the Holy Ghost, and fire. It's not me baptizing you. I couldn't if I had to. It's not an evangelist baptizing us. But I knew when I got this message this week, I knew it was from heaven, and I knew that God wants you to do something in us before we go any farther, because there is a deluge, there is a flood of his glory coming to earth. Now, while what I just said that reminded me, on Wednesday night, would you please be here Wednesday night? It's a short video, but I want you to hear it. It is so powerful. I won't go any farther. I would say it's prophetic, but we've already seen what's behind us. But this is so soon. And the song we sang this morning, Come Jesus Come, that is very soon. The rapture is very soon. AI is setting everything up for the Antichrist. The Antichrist spirit is upon the earth. It's almost ready that they can cause revelation said in the end time. If you do not take the mark in your forehand or your forehead, that you'll be put to death. If you don't take the mark, that's what's going to happen. Lost my thought where I was going with that. But anyway, for that Antichrist, there will be a literal Antichrist sitting on the throne in the temple. People will think he's the Jesus himself. And he will sit there, but for them to be able to cause everyone to take a mark, if you don't comply with them, for that to happen, they're going to have something like AI. At first, we thought it was the computer. But now with what this AI is doing and the things that's happening around the world, we know we are so close to the coming of the Lord. But you know the good news is? The Bible says he will not pour out his wrath upon his people. We will be out of here when that Antichrist is exposed. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. Thank you guys so much. Whew. Amen. Will the Lord bless you and keep you? May cause his beautiful face to shine upon you, be gracious to you, gracious to your home, your family, your children, and may he just shine his beautiful countenance upon us this week and give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you all for being here in the house of the Lord today. We love you all.